So in December of 2021, I listened to an interview with the Book of Delights author Ross Gay. For a year, he wrote one essay a day about something that delighted him. That December, I was feeling low. We'd been living with COVID for a long time. And I took his challenge to heart and decided to write down something each day that brought me delight. I did this almost every day for December, January, and February. These delights were unexpected moments or experiences that brought joy to me. And here are a few of them that I wrote down. Cranberry-tipped trees at sunrise. My son and his friends playing crokinole and singing Christmas carols around the kitchen table. I made it home safe, even though my tire was about to fall off. Hearing a woodpecker in the woods and being able to spot it among the trees. Gallivanting, my favorite word from my writing group this morning. This was a really fun experience, and I found it really helpful to look for something to be joyful about every day. Finding joy takes some effort, but it really is rewarding. Can you think of anything that brought you joy this week? Today is the beginning of the week of joy in Advent. Joy, unlike happiness, is something that can be experienced whether we are in good times or in bad. Joy does not rely on our circumstances, and in fact, often joy appears to defy our circumstances and help us through. The Bible is full of calls to joy. From the beginning of the scripture to the end, joy is mentioned over 300 times. Joy is a gift to receive from our God and to share with those around us. In our first Old Testament reading today, we meet Zephaniah, who up until now has given a prophecy of judgment and doom towards Jerusalem. But at the end of the book, he suddenly switches gears, and he finishes on a note of jubilation. Here we meet a God who rejoices over us. Our God, finding joy in the people who had turned their back on him and were deserving of judgment. But God doesn't want us to stay under judgment. God wants a relationship with us. And so, God finds a way to bring the people out from under their oppressors. The people have been forgiven, are free, and have returned home. God and the people are reunited, and God is ecstatic. We recently had some family members who forgave each other after 10 years of not speaking. There was so much joy for those two men who chose to forgive each other and have a relationship once more. There was joy for those who witnessed the meeting, where punches may have been thrown, but instead they threw away their resentment and anger and were able to have a good visit and even take a picture together. There was joy for those of us who heard about it and had been hoping that the two would reconcile. In fact, there was so much joy that some of us cried. It was a really wonderful moment. This is the type of joy that we read about in Zephaniah 3:17. This was not a quiet, inside voice, tiny dancing feet kind of joy. This was an exuberant, over-the-top, happy dance done by our Lord. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of a festival. The phrase rejoice over you in Hebrew means to dance, skip, leap, and spin around in joy. Can you imagine our God doing this? Doing this happy dance over you and each person who turns to him? I don't know if you've ever heard of Gurdeep Pandur, but he's a Bhangra dancer who was dancing his way across Canada to bring joy. Bhangra dancing is a traditional dance of farmers in Punjab, India. And in this type of dancing, they convey joy by bouncing and leaping and spinning, all with an infectious grin on their face. Even if you have two left feet, you want to join in their dance. And this is the type of dance that I imagine God dancing. There is something almost unbelievable about a God who loves us so much that not only does he see the problem, he will find a solution for it, then fix the problem himself, and then celebrate over us, even though God has done 99% of the work. We learn about God's actions from the I will statements in the last verses of Zephaniah. I will remove disaster from you. I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will change their shame into praise. I will bring you home. I will restore your fortune. We don't have to be afraid. We have a God who is finding solutions for us, a God who will not leave us on our own to figure everything out. So all of us should just be joyful and praise God and be full of thanksgiving, right? Well, we hear a lot of calls to be joyful at this time, but it's not that easy to be joyful when there's worrying wars around the world, when we have health issues, when we have relationship problems, when we're concerned for family members, when our finances are not meeting the requirements of our bills, when a million problems bombard us each day. How do we find joy? We can't just look deeper in ourselves, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and say, okay, I'm just going to be joyful. Sometimes we are empty, and often we're not full of joy. So where do we go? What can we do to experience joy? In Isaiah 12, verse 3, we find an answer. With joy you will draw from the wells of salvation. I don't draw from the well of Cheryl, or the well of the newest guru of self-help, or the well of whatever makes me feel better in the moment. No, I choose to joyfully draw from the deep, never-ending, clean, refreshing well of God. In God I find the hope, the peace, joy, love, and forgiveness that I need to keep going through the hard times. But how do I draw water from a well when I don't know where to find a bucket? 2 weeks ago, our water pump at our farm quit working. It was minus 20 and we were without water for 2 days. We bought drinking water from the store and we melted pails of water on the stove to flush the toilets. It took about an hour of melting snow to be able to flush a toilet once. This is a very inefficient way to get water. We could work and work and work and never get close to doing what the pump could do. Jesus is our spiritual well pump. He is the way to the saving water that we so desperately need. Jesus was the salvation plan that both Zephaniah and Isaiah prophesied. And we can draw near to Jesus who will pump what we need from God to us. In verses 4 to 6 of Isaiah 12, we are told to give thanks, call on God's name, tell others about what he has done for us, sing praises to the Lord, shout aloud, and sing for joy. Doing these things reminds us that God is good all the time. God is doing 99% of the work, and our 1% is to turn to God with praise and thanks. Our job is to remember that God is the source of all the good in our life. Ross Gay, the author I mentioned at the beginning, never mentions God in his book of delights. But when I took notice of the delights in my world, I added a prayer of thanks to my Lord. It helped me remember that was the source of all good. The habit of praising God, thanking God, and giving God the glory for what is happening in our life fills us with joy. It develops a life of joy in us. Our pail of joy gets filled and then it starts to spill out onto those around us. As Philippians 4 verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. The kids downstairs today are learning about the shepherd's perspective of Jesus' birth. After the shepherds saw the angel and the baby in the manger, they could not contain their joy. They shared the story of the baby and its heavenly welcoming party with everyone they met. And Luke tells us that all who heard it were amazed. I wonder who heard the story and went to search for Jesus themselves. I wonder if it wasn't busy at the stables as people went to try and catch a glimpse of this amazing baby the shepherds had told them about. We too are invited to go and see Jesus, who was born in a manger. There are reminders everywhere this time of year. I wonder if you could take a moment each time you delight in a Christmas decoration or a concert or a gift or the beauty of winter, nature in winter, to thank God for each of these gifts. Take a moment to acknowledge that the joy we feel comes from Jesus' saving work in this world, which started through the birth of a baby boy 2,000 years ago. I wonder if you could also take a moment to examine your life and see, where have you been looking for joy? Does your joy rely on your circumstances? On your health being restored? Your child being okay? Your work to improve? Your prayer being answered the way that you want it to? If it does, it's okay. Take those things to the problem-solving God. In Philippians, we are reminded to take those prayers to God and to trust God to be our strength and peace in the middle of the mess of our lives. Then praise God in anticipation of the answer that will be given to you. Cultivating the joy of the Lord in our life takes some effort, but not as much as we think. Turn to Jesus, who is singing and dancing over you with joy for your salvation. Fill up your bucket in Jesus, and then you will have plenty left over to share. Amen.